Everybody get an offering envelope, needs one. Everybody get two, needs two. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you, now, don't anybody run out of here after church. You got to go downstairs and help us eat.
Yes.
And we're having a Purim party. Okay? All right? We'll take. I got a whole rabbi's outfit, complete with a beaver hat. I think it's more nylon, but I thought I'd let all the guys get a picture taken in that outfit. It's an XXL, so it'll fit all of you. Sort of, kind of. Huh? Everybody blessed this morning. Everybody got an offering envelope, needs one. You got, Bernie don't have an offering plate. He needs one of these. Catch. Oh. Let's pray and you can give this morning. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And and we thank you, Lord, that you have given us seed that we can sow into your kingdom. And we place that seed in the hand of a mighty God. We know you'll multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom, and cause a harvest back to the sower. Yes. For that we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm looking around, I see these little cards that say Clue, so evidently Katrina's got us lined up to have a party, play a few games. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Everybody blessed. Everybody have an opportunity to give. Glory to God. You're all on the green side of the grass. I'll tell you, some of you are cold, some of you are fanning. Yeah, I'm just right. Mike's going to wear out that hat.
I love that hat. Where'd you get that? What site was that on?
I just went to Amazon and typed in peyote, and that's what came up. P-A-Y-O-T, peyote. The command not to cut your hair. One of the Torah commands has to do with cutting of the beard and the hair. And so they let those curls, Hasidic, the real religious guys, let their curls grow. Okay, now there are Orthodox Jews who look just like us, only they wear a yarmulke or kippah, whatever you want to call it. I have an Ohio State kippah. And I have a Cleveland Indians kippa. And I have a Trump kippa. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's get into your word. It smells so good downstairs. I want to get down there. Amen. But I think God has something to speak. Let's pray and we'll get into God's word. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we study your word today, we ask that you would anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Esther, page 637. 637, if you got a Bible like mine. We're going to read in verse 4. We read this in Sunday school, but some of you wasn't here for that, so we'll read it again. Page 637. Hallelujah. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 11. All the king's servants, this is chapter 4, verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. This is the message that Esther, Queen Esther, is sending back to Mordecai, her cousin. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I'm going to stop right here just for a second. Notice that Mordecai tells her, if you don't do this thing, then God's deliverance is going to have to come from someone else. You with me? That tells me that God's plan is going to succeed with or without me. Can you say amen? Or with or without you. So we might as well get on board with God and do our part. And when we step through those gates, He'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen? And Mordecai tells Esther, yet who knows? Who knows, Esther? Whether you've been called for such a time as this. How many know God will raise up people at appointed times in His plan? Amen? Amen. Do you know that if you're willing, you could be an Esther tomorrow morning? If God sends you by somebody that needs prayer, needs a word of encouragement, who knows? You could be raised up for such a time as this. You don't have to be the queen of a kingdom and save a whole race of people. You can be an Esther and just encourage somebody tomorrow morning. You can be an Esther by just standing up for what's right. Amen? We're all called for such a time as this. Your blood bought, filled with the Spirit of God, guess what? You ought to make yourself available. But if all you do is kvetching, oh, by the way, I seen a sign downstairs that said no kvetching. Kvetching is a Yiddish word for complaining and whining. So at the Purim party downstairs, no kvetching. No complaining, no whining. Listen, God can't raise you up for such a time as this, tomorrow or the next day, if all you do is whine and complain. You ever know somebody, they found something wrong with everything? Everything. You have $1 million in one hand and a ticket around the world in the other. Something wrong with it. Can't go, coronavirus. Just kidding. I'm going, all right? I'm going. But my point is, Esther is not just a picture of someone who saved a whole nation. But Esther's a picture of you and I every day being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You don't know when God sends someone your way, you don't know that God hasn't strategically placed you there, raised you up for such a time as this. Amen? He goes on to say, then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days. Night or day, my maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Amen? You know, I got to tell you the truth. I don't go play in traffic. I don't rock climb. I don't bungee cord. I'm not going up in a little plane. Okay? Not going to do it. But you know what? What's the worst thing can happen? I go to be with Jesus. Huh? It's a win-win. So I'm not going to live in fear. There are certain things I'm not going to do. Okay? But I'm not going to live in fear. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to go to be with the Lord. Don't you all shed a tear over me. You dance, okay? Have a party. Because I've been serving Jesus for I don't know how long now. And you know what? Since 1990, I've been real serious. But all my life, I've heard about him. And if I get a chance to see him, I'm gone.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that's not a fatalist view, you know, that I'm going to die, I might as well go. No, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to be an Esther every chance God gives me here on earth. But if I go, hey, to be absent from this body is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, now, why does Esther ask Mordecai, fast for 3 days? Man, why not 4 days? Why not be bold? Go 40 days. Three days. Why 3 days? You ever heard of this thing such as, yeah, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Have you ever heard in Revelation 1:4 describing Jesus, the one who is, who was, and who is to come? Our Bible's broke down in three parts in Hebrew. There's the Torah, the Ketuvim, and the Nevi'im. There's the Torah, the first five books. There is the Ketuvim, the writing, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon. And there's the Nevi'im, the prophets. So our Bible's broke into the Hebrew Bible's broke into three parts. When you describe God, you say, yeah, the God of Moses, Zechariah, and Malachi. No, it's always the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? So why three then? Wait a minute. I heard of this really good man once who died on a cross, and he was in the grave 3 days. Why 3 days? In Hebrew, the word for three is shalosh. Ahad, one. Stein, two. Shalosh, three. Why three? Because three means to measure or to sum up or to complete. So if I'm going to tell you the God that I believe in, I'm going to tell you the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've just summed up the God that I believe in, right?
Amen.
If I'm going to describe the God, the Christian God to you, I'm going to say, well, he's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? I've just summed up God. I've measured God up. I've completed him, right? So Esther says, I want you to fast for 3 days, right? She needs an answer, does she not?
Amen.
She needs to get the people together, to get God on board. She needs to complete this task. And she knows this can't be completed without God. So why does Jesus go into the grave for 3 days? Because he has to pay the price for your sin and mine. So he summed up, or he completed your redemption in 3 days. That's why it's complete. That's why there's no guilt, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Esther knows she needs God to complete this mission. She knows it. You remember we described Xerxes or Ahasuerus is his Persian name. Xerxes is his Greek name. We described his temperament. Remember, there's the Jewish story of how a man, another king, gave him a lot of money towards his military, and in gratitude, Ahasuerus gave his money back and gave him a gift and thanked him. But when the guy asked Ahasuerus, "Hey, can you exempt my son from fighting in your military?" What did Ahasuerus do? He cut his son in half and marched his army in between. So this was the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde that Esther was dealing with. He was a man of pleasure. He had harems, right? Remember, he was having a drunken orgy and he wanted Vashti, his queen, to come in, you know, and get down and dirty with him. But being a queen and understanding royalty, she's like, this ain't going to happen on my watch. So she doesn't go in. She's no. Nope, you show your manhood some other way. You ain't using me. And so she doesn't go in. She's kicked out as queen. She still has her dignity, right? So then the good old boy said, hey, king, we need to get you another queen. Well, he's all for it. He's a man of lust and pleasure. He's one of those guys that you always got to satisfy. Huh? He's not looking for people to tell him the truth. He's looking for yes men. Right? And so this is the guy that Esther has to go in and talk to. Even though she's beautiful, even though she's queen, she still has to be recognized by the king. The king has to point his scepter to her. So she asked for prayer and fasting for 3 days. She wants to make sure she measures up. She wants to make sure that God completes this mission, because she knows without God's grace and without God's favor, it's not going to happen for her. Because this guy can go get whatever woman he wants to be queen. All right? So, that's why she prays for 3 days. She needs this mission to be complete. Amen? Now, we know what happens, right? In the story, I'm not going to read you the story. It basically is this. There was an evil man named Haman. For you who don't know, in Jewish tradition, during Purim, if you hear the name Haman, boo, he's evil, right? Around here, we could say Hasatan, Satan. Boo. Anything evil, they boo, all right? So you know Haman is the right-hand man of the king, and he devises a plan to kill all the Jews, and because of Esther's boldness, faith in God, and because of God's favor, she is able to turn the tables, and the very gallows that were intended for Mordecai and the Jewish people, evil Haman gets hung by his own gallows. That's funny. Now, you guys are funny. Let me say this to you. I want you to turn with me to Genesis 12:3. Then we're going to jump over to Hebrews 10, and then I'm going to go through the rest of my notes. We're going to thank God, and we're going to eat. Now, how long in between? I don't know. Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. Page 20. Got a Bible like mine. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. How many of the Jewish people are less than 1% of the world's population, but they've won like 30-some percent of all Nobel Peace Prizes? Amen. God said, you're going to be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. When we were in Israel, we got to visit. Did you remember that place where they had all of the inventions and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Right down Tel Aviv, downtown Tel Aviv, they have a set of glasses you put on, and it's computerized. For someone who can't see good, and it's hooked up to their ear, and when they, like if I was looking at Katrina but didn't know who she was, but if she was programmed into my glasses would tell me, Katrina. Those glasses would read to me. as I was reading, it would read to me. That's pretty cool. You know, well, God told them they would be a blessing, right? Amen. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I don't know how long we've been in this church, Wilma. 10 years? Something like that? Man, we struggled in that storefront. If you told me I'd been in that storefront 7-8 years, I'd told you it's crazy and loon. We'll be here 6 months, be busting out the seams. We'll, you know. Well, it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way. So, it happened when I realized I took this verse of Scripture to heart. And we took up that offering. I've told you this 100 times. We took up that initial offering, and I was hoping we'd get $350 so we could help Bridges for Peace bring one Jew from the Soviet Union back into Israel. And we took up the offering, and it ended up, it was $1,050. We were able to bring three back to Israel. And it was a very short time later, somebody said this church was for sale. And I came and looked at it. Didn't have any bathrooms. I was like, what kind of church don't have bathrooms? I didn't want it. And God got on me a little bit, and the ladies of the church got on me a little bit. So I said, you know what? We'll just all go down and look at it. So I made arrangements with Mr. Bentley. He opened the door. They all went down there. They come upstairs, and all the ladies, you know, the first thing they said, they didn't say that it doesn't have bathrooms. They said, it's got a kitchen! Well, it don't have a bathroom. But it's got a kitchen! Y'all remember, we didn't have a kitchen. If we had a dinner, we had a crock pot, everything. We were the crock potness people you ever seen. So, make a long story short, we bought this place for $60,000. We painted it, we put bathrooms in, and it appraised for almost $200,000. I'm telling you, God said, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. And I don't know how. We're small in number. I don't know how, but God always manages to pay the bills. And we give a lot of money to missionaries. God said, I'll bless those who bless you. Yes, I have. Now, real quick, turn with me to Hebrews 10:31. Hebrews 10:31. Hebrews 10:31, real quick. Now, it says, Hebrews 10:31, let's look at verse 30 also. Page 1741, you got a Bible like mine, 1741. Verse 31, 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm going to read that again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. Now, I want to read you something. Well, in Sunday school, we talked about Isaiah 51 and how God judged Israel. Remember, judgment always begins in the house of God. God judged the nation of Israel for almost 700 years. They faced the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, until finally the Romans destroyed the temple in 70 A.D., There was another revolt in 135 A.D. that was squashed by the Romans, and the Jews were dispersed into all the lands. And God says in Isaiah 51 to the Jewish people, you have drank of the cup of my fury long enough. And he says, now I'm going to take that cup out of your hand, Israel, and I'm going to place it into the hand of those who afflict you. How many of you know that God said, I'll bless those who bless you? But wait a minute, there's another part to that. I'll curse those who curse you.
Amen.
Amen. Why is Israel less than the size of New Jersey, less than 1% of the world's population? How in the world could they be destroyed and rise up again without God? It would be impossible. Amen? Because God promised it. All right, now, I want to talk about anti-Semitism really fast. Anti-Semitism, a pagan's heart's hatred for Israel, the cause of anti-Semitism is the pagan heart is hatred for Israel's God. It's not Israel, it's Israel's God. Remember, Satan, you know, is given credit for Isaiah 14, I will be exalted on the holy mountain. I will be worshipped on the holy mountain. And then God says, no, you're going to be brought down to hell. Okay, but anyway, this hatred is directed towards the Jewish people who represent God in the earth. Okay? The attack on the Jewish people, or any attack on humanity, is an attack on the image of God. Anti-Semitism is not because one person hates another. It's because the original hatred stems from a hatred towards God.
Amen.
You with me? And the hatred is aimed at the image of God, which is you and I, people, the Jewish people. As long as the Jewish people remain on earth, the Jewish God is going to be spoken about. The same God we serve. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, or Jacob. You with me?
Amen.
All right? And God, or not God, the enemy has always been about destroying the image of God.
Amen.
His people. Amen? And that's what anti-Semitism is all about. I want to read you a couple quotes here, if I can find my man, Dr. John Garr. Brilliant man. I mean brilliant. But he writes brilliantly. Nobody can understand what he writes. You got to have two thesauruses and, you know, a bronchiosaurus and a dictionary. And, you know, you got to have your iPad and your iPhone, you know, because every other paragraph you're going to look up two words. What on earth? They asked him one time, said, why don't you write so we can understand you? I wouldn't be true to myself. I'm telling you, he'd sell more books. But he's brilliant. He is brilliant. He says this: the underlying motive of anti-Semitism and its unrelenting attacks on the Jewish people has been the desire of the pagan to kill the God of the Jews. The Apostle Paul said it well. He said, the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God. Your New King James uses the term enmity. The carnal mind is enmity or an enemy. It's hostile to God in Romans 8:7. He said, whether it is humanist, secularist, or pagan, the heart of godless man despises the God of Scripture. And because it does, it also hates the Jewish people and Israel. The one people, the one nation, the one land that stands for and bears witness to the one and only true God. Like it or not, the Jewish people as a whole represent God, and the scriptures of Israel still speak for God. The pagan heart's hatred for God drives it on a quest to achieve deicide. Had we but the power, we would murder God. For we will never cease to be tempted by Ivan Karamov's demonic fantasy that if God were dead, all things would be permitted. Anti-Semitism is at the bottom God hatred and ultimately human hatred. Therefore, killing God requires killing the children of Abraham. Another scholar says, no wonder Immanuel Kant suggested that the euthanasia of Judaism would produce the pure moral religion freed from all ancient statutory teachings and thereby answer the Jewish question. In other words, if we could kill off the Jews, then we would kill off the Word of God and there would be no standard for the world. Now think about this for a minute. They hate the God of Israel. They hate your God. Can I tell you something? You're part of Israel. You're not the seed of Abraham physically. You are the seed of Abraham spiritually. That's what Paul said in the book of Galatians. So when they hate Israel, they hate you. Okay? Let's go back to my pet peeve, abortion. What's abortion about? It's about killing the image of God. Amen? Under the disguise of humanism, I have a right to my body. Well, you know, that child has a right to life too. How evil is that? How evil is it? All you got to do is look up some of the documentaries on the Holocaust. How can you take children? They killed 500,000 children. Some of them in the gas chamber. Some of them they just shot. Point blank shot. How evil is that? And the whole reason is they hate the God we serve. Amen? That's why it's important for us as Esthers never to miss an opportunity. Never to miss an opportunity to stand up for God. Never miss an opportunity to allow God to use you. Amen. Whether it's praying for someone in need, whether it's feeding somebody that's hungry, however God can use you, we always have to have that heart ready to be used by God. Amen. I want to read you something else here real quick. This came from the prosecutor, the lead prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials. You know, the Nuremberg trials were the trials of the Nazi criminals. And he said this. He said, the wrongs which we seek to condemn and punish have been so calculated, so malignant, and so devastating that civilization cannot tolerate their being ignored, because it cannot survive their being repeated. I'll read that again. He said that the wrong which we seek to condemn and punish have been so calculated, so malignant, and so devastating that civilization cannot tolerate their being ignored, because it cannot survive their being repeated. Listen, there are people who deny the Holocaust. You know, President Eisenhower, when they came into Poland, he told them, boys, get the cameras rolling, take pictures, because some SOB one of these days is going to deny that this ever happened. He was spot on, was he not? Yeah. The prosecutor went on to say this. Merely as individuals, their fate is of little consequence to the world. What makes this inquest significant is that these prisoners represent sinister influences that will lurk in the world long after their bodies have been returned to dust. And the same evil that influenced Haman 2,600 years ago is the same evil that influenced the Nazis. And it's the same evil that's been perpetrated and taught on our college campuses in America today.
Amen.
Hmm? Amen. One of these days I'm going to teach him too, that it's my service. So, it's up to us. It's up to us to say, hey, God, this morning, whatever you got for me, I'm ready to be an Esther. I'm ready to intercede. Whatever you want me to do, I'm ready to stand up for you. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. All right, let me get over here. Come on, Bernie, you help me. You go this way, I'll go this way. Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.